awesome day at the Young Turks. Wasikilat, drop it. Power panel. Richard Fowler from the Richard Fowler Show is here.
Yo.
Yes.
That clap, by the way, was not his new way of dropping it. We have flies in the studio. This place is disgusting.
We do, but that was also a new way of dropping it. All right, John Iadarola is here. There is a story today in the news about Jason Pai, not to be confused with Johnny Pai, who will be presenting that story. Jason Pai is a really bad dude from FreedomWorks, Koch Brothers Group. I hope we get to that story. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we are close to getting him. Look, there's this thousand
story.
No, but one day, hopefully, him too.
That bastard.
Pie! No, it's going to be like, Sigdala. Okay. Anyway, so 1,000 stories today. They're all amazing. And the Louis C.K., you got Roy Moore, that's coming up in a second. You got an insane kidnapping that Mike Flynn was considering. Doing of a Turkish American. Wasiktirlan, was it me? Well, that might be next one day. But anyway, but mainly what I'm telling you is we're close to Trump, man. Mueller is getting closer and closer and closer to Trump. So it's exciting times. Exciting times. Yeah. And if you're one
or a gigantic distraction.
Oh yeah, of course.
One of those two things.
Yes, yes, yes. Sure. Okay, getting rid of the worst president we've ever had, I would say, is a little bit more than a distraction. Let us note for the record that this might be the first time we've ever had three T-shirt blazer combos on the panel. It's just a thing that must be noted.
And they're all face shirts too.
So they are. Yeah.
We have Bernie over there. We have FDR and Bayard Rustin. You know, we're winning. Yeah.
Yes.
Cenk before the show changed into that to try to avoid what I'm going to tell you now. We wore the same T-shirt today originally.
Again.
Every time I wear this shirt, he wears the same shirt.
Okay. Anyway, but this is my shirt, so that's wonderful and that's so cool actually. But that's not at shoptyt.com.
So take it off.
Okay.
Well, if you guys make a Bayard Rustin shirt, and Richard Fowler will be the first one to buy it.
Okay. Excellent. But this is one of my favorites. This is the Resist line we have, and so this is obviously with FDR. So I love this one. ShopTYT.com. All right, okay. let's get to it.
Okay, lots to get to today. Although many Republican politicians are at least tentatively denouncing Roy Moore with a lot of ifs and possiblys and we'll sees, in the wake of the allegations that he engaged in multiple relationships with underage girls, including the molestation of a 14-year-old, those are the allegations. Conservative media still largely has his back as they did yesterday. For the second day running, Breitbart, the whole front page is this is a huge smear job by Amazon, Bezos, Illuminati, all of that. Remember, this is the outlet that was pushing the Pizzagate conspiracy. They were really worried about politicians abusing young children before. Now they don't seem to have as big of an issue with it.
When it's real.
Yeah, exactly. And so we're also going to turn to the conservatives on cable news as well. We're going to have some video for you. But before we get to that, Sean Hannity actually spoke with Roy Moore today. And we don't have the video or the full transcript yet, but some of it was being live tweeted. So let's talk about a few of those revelations because Moore said a lot of stuff. He said that he admits to knowing two of the 16 to 18 year old women named in the Washington Post article, saying, quote, he dated a lot of young ladies then, which he said as a defense. I don't know that that actually is much of a defense, really. I dated tons of questionably young people.
Yeah, so
but he does remember them.
But I think he also, I want to say in the interview, because I heard some bits of it. He also said that he asked their parent, he talked to their mother for approval first, or he asked their parents for approval, so it was okay.
Yeah. So, so is that knowing them in the biblical sense? I hope not. And so saying that, yeah, he dated young women back then and he knew those two basically is admitting the charges that he claimed were lies and smears. And he even did a fundraising email that we'll tell you about in a second where he called them lies. Apparently they weren't lies because you basically just admitted it.
He denies the 14-year-old.
Yeah, still. The 16 to 18-year-old. Now that's, I'm coming around to that point, which is important, which is that the legal age of consent in Alabama is 16. So those would have been legal. and gentlemanly if you ask their parents and you're in your mid-30s mm-hmm. and you like to date 16-year-olds, and I will have to find out if the great state of Alabama's okay with that. As John pointed out, Pizzagate, etc., people were very concerned mm-hmm. with politicians dating very young people. But unless they're really Christian and really good Christians, in which case making out with 16-year-olds when you're in your mid-30s is apparently yeah. awesome. But we'll find out soon enough, probably in the election.
You're just emulating the example of Joseph. He also said, asked whether he had dated girls as young as 16. He says, "I don't dispute that."
In other words, yes,
yes,
yes.
Yeah, and that's affirmative. And if you combine that with "I dated a lot of young girls," then that totally does not mean that you dated younger than 16, and it certainly doesn't mean that you tried to date younger than 16. But if you're routinely going around trying to scope out 16, 17, 18 year old girls, it's possible you might have hit one younger than that at some point. So again, these are supposed to be defenses of him. He also said, "I'm sure in the next 4 weeks they're going to come out with another article."
He dated a lot of young girls back in the day. Wait till you get a load of the rest of them.
Well, and so we're like a little bit joking, but like, yeah, when these things come out, it makes other people feel comfortable perhaps talking, and so it's not impossible that more could. Also, Roy Moore says that he has, quote, evidence of collusion, but didn't say what that was or what the evidence would be. I guess the idea being that these people who are making these allegations about him, that he says almost all the details are true, but he didn't do anything wrong. The 14-year-old, by the way, as we said on the show yesterday, voted for Donald Trump, has voted for Republicans in the last 3 presidential elections, has not worked with the Democratic Party or the Democratic opponent in this race, is involved in collusion to try to take him down. And so that's today. We're going to have some more video of the defense of him, but what do you guys think about this defense?
Okay, so first of all, when he says collusion, what he probably means is that it was Oppo research and then given to the Washington Post, which happens all the time. Okay, that is real, it happens.
Why wouldn't Luther Strange have used this?
Luther Strange did try to use this. He apparently didn't have the 14-year-old because he had he had an ad that was referencing how lenient Roy Moore was in a case of child rape and sodomy.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday.
Yeah. So it wasn't specifically this, mm-hmm. but you know, he might have been just hitting him on the decision, on the judicial decision, where Roy Moore is like, I mean, was there really
There's no evidence of harm.
Yeah, evidence of harm when one was forcibly sodomized. You know, I think the kid was under 12, right? And so it was a preposterous, insane ruling. And maybe Strange was just hitting him on that, or he might have known this stuff but didn't have enough and was referencing that in that ad. But if the Oppo research and pointing out that it's Oppo research is fair. The Republicans saying, hey, it's interesting that it's coming out right before the election. That's fair. But then the more important question is, did he do it? In the case of the 16 and aboves, he's now admitting basically that he did do it. On the 14-year-old, if you didn't hear the story earlier, he took off all his clothes. He got her in her underwear, fondled her, and tried to get her to touch his crotch. Well, that would be illegal. And so now some of the defenses of other Alabama Republicans are, well, as John was kind of alluding to, Joseph and did it to Mary, so why not? literally, that's a Republican politician in Alabama.
The comptroller of Alabama made that comment.
Yeah. He said it doesn't sound immoral or illegal. Well, no, actually, if it's true, it's completely illegal. I don't know if the statute of limitations has run on it, but it's not a good excuse for why you did it.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And I think the other argument, I guess they could be saying there's collusion, and you heard Steve Bannon make this argument, sort of saying this Jeff Bezos, Amazon-owned Washington Post. But I think that argument collusion doesn't make any sense if you understand at all how newsrooms work at a newspaper, where editorial and the business side newspaper are very separate from the hardworking journalists at every outlet, right? So you have the editorial people who make their editorial decisions of who they're going to endorse and who they're not going to endorse, and good beat reporters who are covering a story. And in this particular story, there are 30 sources, not one, not two, not 10. There's 30 different sources on this one. And it has nothing to do with who the paper endorsed, has nothing to do with what the editorial board did, has everything to do with a good journalist getting Oppo research and then doing their own research and saying, we have 30 sources. So debunk all 30 of them and then let's have a conversation.
Yeah, and not opening themselves up to possible legal action.
Like absolutely.
They will check and double check and triple check to make sure that this is true.
And that is exactly why they might not have had it in time for the primary other race that he ran, because it takes a ton. Because you don't want to make these charges and be proven wrong. That would be disastrous.
Yeah, look at Rolling Stone.
Yeah, so they had to button it up with 30 sources before they went to print it. And that's why the guys like John McCain have said, yeah, good enough. He should step down.
Yeah.
While other Republicans in the Senate are like, well, you know, what if they had 31 sources? So I'm not yet convinced.
If it turns out that these allegations are true, and if he has already been sworn in and voted for the tax bill, then he should step down. But yeah, so look, John McCain doing the right thing, saying he should step down. Mitt Romney, you know, after it matters, since he has no power, saying the same thing. But a lot of Republican politicians don't. They want to like leave themselves some room, possibly, to allow himself to still win. And as I was saying, a lot of conservative media have just decided that, you know, screw all that we've said about family values and caring about this sort of thing. They are not just going to, if it's true, more, they are going to attack everyone making these allegations. And Sean Hannity has decided to let the uranium cool off for a couple of days, and so he's turned to this story and is spending all of his time on it. So we're going to show you a few videos. First, here he is with a legal analyst.
And this goes back to what you said. Do people do it for money? Do they do it for political reasons? How come? Sure. Is that more common than people would think?
Oh, definitely. I mean, they'll do this for
they will lie to make money.
Well, undoubtedly. I mean, there are individuals that will come forward with these outrageous allegations. And then
and that hurts all women that are victims.
Yes. I mean, and that's why I used to work in sex crimes in the DA's office. It was very pitiful to see that, because some jurors don't believe it, because they've in their own lives, there are people that have made these accusations for money. You see this time and time and time again. And sexual harassment, that term is coined everywhere. Frankly, the laws are very clear as to what it takes in order to be a violation of the law. You have to have some sort of damage. And these individuals, a lot of these women, it's all about money, and they bank on the fact that these corporations
and
have
this
the
is where you thread the needle, because there are women that are victims of predators.
Yes, there are. There are.
So hard.
But very few and far between.
Few and far between.
So that is, of course,
what conversation have we been having nationally about sexual abuse and sexual harassment? Few and far between.
No, it's interesting. When Harvey Weinstein was accused, these sexual predators, this is dangerous and horrible and horrific. Now, when it's Roy Moore, and they were right about that, when it's Roy Moore, and it was Trump back in the day, and of course, most importantly for Fox, Roger Ailes, Bill O'Reilly. Few and far between. I mean, most of them are lying. Most of them are goddamn liars. You know, there's a tiny, tiny fraction that are telling the truth. But most of them are whores looking for the money. By the way, this is legal analyst from Fox News. So they bring on women to bash other women.
So I know this analyst. I'll say this. I think that she is right. People are falsely accused. I think people go after corporations to get settlements, so on and so forth. But this case is uniquely different for a lot of reasons. Number one, there's nothing to get from Roy Moore. Mm-hmm. Number two, this lady put her name out there. She put her whole reputation on the line. And so clearly, most of the time they do it, they would sue, they would try to get a settlement, and they would try to make it all go away in the shadow of darkness with some gag order.
That.
She didn't do that at all. She went to the paper and said, I think that the voters of Alabama deserve to know the truth about this guy, which makes this case different from somebody going after a Harvey Weinstein, who's like, I'm going after him because he's a millionaire and I want some of his money. Mind you, in this case, we know Harvey Weinstein's a total creep. But in this particular, I just think they're wrong on this one, right? There's 30 sources. She put her name out there. She's a Trump supporter, and she thinks this guy is wrong, and the people of Alabama shouldn't elect him. And I think that it's sad that Republicans, who's supposed to be the party of God and the party of moral superiority, as they would argue, are not disavowing this guy as fast as possible. Yeah. They're like, oh, well, you know, like the comptroller said, well, Mary and Joseph did it, so it's all right to do it in 2017.
Well, so here's Mercedes Colwin, who's the so-called legal analyst there. Look, she's a partner at a law firm, Gordon and Reese. I hope to God they don't have her on some sort of committee that judges sexual harassment claims. Because I guess she's trying to cover for Roy Moore, who, according to all these sources of the Washington Post, has molested a 14-year-old, so I hope she feels proud. But not just in that case, but for her to come out on TV and say, most of the people who accuse men of sexual harassment are liars, that is not remotely true. And then say most of them are doing it for money. What do you mean most of them? Most of them, aren't doing it for against Bill Cosby or Roger Ailes. Most women who report sexual harassment have to deal with that at work and on a much lower level, and they're not trying to cash in. Look, is there cases where people lie about it? Of course, there's humanity, there's cases all over the place. But it is not the overwhelming percentage, and if she's on some sort of committee, it seems like she would prejudge all women negatively. Yeah. So it's horrific.
Well, I think it's not just convenient in this case where they want Roy Moore to win, and it's not just generally more convenient because of the situation they have at Fox News, where multiple people in front of and behind the camera have already gone down for this, and other cases are continuing in the background, like Gretchen Carlson's and stuff like that. But it's also just generally philosophically convenient for the sort of person that makes up their core audience, is that the 85-year-old man who misses the good old days when you could treat your secretary the way you wanted to, and they're all just lying. Why are they taking it so seriously? There's more that we want to show you on this. Let's go to this next. It's gonna be Greg Jarrah again, focusing on the credibility of those making these claims and the outlet where it's coming from.
You're not a fan of Judge Moore. You said it the other day on this program.
I did, before the primary, actually, that he's unfit to serve in the U.S. Senate because not once but twice he was removed from office for defying federal judicial decisions on constitutional matters, which he is not allowed to do under the Supremacy Clause. Having said that, I am suspicious of this because of the source, the Washington Post, which has a dog in this fight, having endorsed his opponent. The timing of it on the eve of an election. And finally, he was a huge and has been a huge public figure in Alabama, the best known son of Alabama in many ways, and yet none of this came to surface in almost four decades. And so that gives me reason to question the credibility of these people.
So here's the thing. So he's a huge figure. He's been involved in all these other races. It's been four decades. How could you wait four decades? Okay. So 10 years ago, he runs for something. How could you bring it up after two decades, you're going to bring this up? Well, what if you let a long weekend go by, suddenly it's not a crime anymore at that point? And the suspicious thing that it's coming from the Washington Post, as if these women had come to Fox News, they would have taken it seriously and they would have broken the story checking it, which they wouldn't have done.
I mean,
really fast. And then on that the women are coming out, that they're trying to get something. As you said, there's no evidence they're trying to get anything. I saw a tweet from a woman who commenting on the general thing that's going on in our culture, is that all of these women are just coming forward for all the free death threats. Like, that's all you get, is you get death threats and rape threats, and that's it. It's brave to come forward. They're not being paid off.
So a couple of things. I think they're really great journalists at Fox News. That if they had come to Fox, I think Fox would have reported it.
I think Shep would have reported it.
I think there are a lot of other good journalists that would have reported this story, number one. Number two, I think my larger problem with this is, I think in Greg's sort of reporting there, he speaks of the problem. This guy was a huge figure in Alabama. That is why this young lady probably took so long to come forward. There's a power element here.
Yeah.
And that's what makes these cases so difficult. Most of these cases, and I think Cenk, you're right, and you said before we watch a clip that, remember, you have to remember that this type of harassment and assault happens at the toppest of top companies, and it also happens at your local Wendy's, right?
Yeah.
And your local McDonald's. So there, but it's always a power dynamic that happens. So yes, he's a huge figure in Alabama, which is why you would be scared as a woman who is a random Joe or a random Jane to come forward.
Yeah.
And eventually you say, because all these women are now saying, be fierce, be brave, be bold, hashtag me too, that I am now gonna be bold and I'm gonna come forward and I'm gonna tell my story. And hopefully people will believe my story on its merits. And when she told her story, if you look at the Washington Post reporting, they're like, we're not really sure if we believe your story on face, so we're gonna go out and we're gonna find 29 other sources to make sure and confirm that your story is true. And so that's why I think this case is distinct and apart from other cases. I do think people are falsely accused. I do think there should be space for those who are falsely accused to tell their story, so it could be a cautionary tale to other men so don't they make the same mistake. But in this particular case, there are 29 other sources beside this young lady, including court records that show that the time and place where they met up is actually the time and place, because there was actually a court custody hearing that day. So there's real evidence here that proves that this actually could have happened. And the fact that Republicans outside of the Fox News stratosphere, but Republicans, the president of the United States, the fact that Jerry Falwell, the head of Liberty University, which is supposed to be, you know, they are supposed to be the closest thing, supposed to be Liberty University and then heaven, right? The fact that he is saying that, oh, well, these are all false, I don't believe the Washington Post, and I'm like, wait a minute, but what happens to all the women who go to Liberty University? Are you going to stand up for these women when they come forward and they tell their stories? How do you guys handle sexual assault and sexual harassment on your campus? Yeah. I mean, these are the questions that you have to now ask yourselves about what's really going on here. And if they are supposed to have the moral high ground, then where is the moral high ground?
Yeah, so a couple of things about that. First of all, look, every time there's a story like this, Fox News that affects conservative, Fox News comes out about, like, how about all the people who are falsely accused? I don't think that every time there's a crime, we have to have an enormous conversation about all the people who do false accusations. And I know that because if you watch Fox News, whenever a liberal is accused, there's no conversation about false accusations. When they covered Harvey Weinstein over and over again, there was not. But on the other hand, there's a lot of false accusations because, so you never know about Harvey. I didn't remember those caveats when Fox News covered that. Only when Republicans and conservatives molest little kids, all of a sudden, remember there's also false accusations. It could be false. So it's a total squirrel move to try to distract you. Of course, there are false accusations across the world and everything. We don't have to say that every time because they're trying to get you to think, no, 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 it's probably not true because we want this guy to win even though he's a child molester. Okay, second of all, Greg Jarrett says Washington Post has a dog in this fight because they want his opponent to win. How about Fox News? You guys don't have a dog in the fight? You think Sean Hannity doesn't have a dog in the fight? He has a child molester in the fight. That's who he has. And then third of all, oh, well, why didn't they come forward before? Because you guys would have bashed them just like you are right now. You would have gone after the 14-year-old and the 16 and the 18-year-old just like you are now. And you would have said, oh man, it's all these false accusations. And look at these people trying to, you know, do collusion. And what do they want anyway? And Fox News just had somebody on just saying, like, oh, most of these women are lying anyway. Gee, I wonder why they didn't come forward earlier. Because you would have tried to crush them, as we visibly see you doing right now.
Yeah, actually, this is not a Fox News thing, but I'm not even gonna say his name. There's a prominent conservative on Twitter who doxed one of the women, actually, put her personal information in a tweet, eventually took it down because he was worried he was gonna get banned from Twitter. But that happened as well. And while all this is going on, you know, some aspects of the Republican Party are distancing themselves from Moore. The Republican Party Senate campaign wing severed its fundraising agreement with Moore. And the White House has commented on the issue. Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, like most Americans, the president believes we cannot allow a mere allegation, in this case one from many years ago, to destroy a person's life. However, the president also believes that if these allegations are true, Judge Moore will do the right thing and step aside. I noticed that that's will do the right thing, not should do the right thing and step aside. But by the way, and this is just in the background, we're still weeks away from the actual race. Polls over the past month have generally put Moore up by about like 8 to 9 points or something like that. And this is not exactly one of the most high profile polling outfits, but a poll from yesterday had Doug Jones down only 0.4, 46.4 to 46. Who knows what that will look like in a week or let alone in 3 weeks. But this could have an effect on the race.
I tend to agree. I agree. I think it's going to have an effect on the race. And I got to say this. I know the Fox News audience very well. I've been there for some time. I think the Fox News audience is a lot smarter than this. And I think the Fox News audience, they read this story and they see it for what it is. And I think they can sniff out a BSer when they see a BSer.
So you think they won't buy what Hannity
and the panel are talking about? I think the polls speak to that. I think the polls speak to the people of Alabama are saying, wait a minute. And mind you, we haven't seen any polling done since this revelation has happened.
Yeah,
right?
From a really
credible pollster who could go down there in Alabama and do some polling. And I think that what you're going to see is people are going to be like, I can't vote for this guy. And I think you're going to see respectable Republicans and respectable independents in Alabama say, I'm either one, going to sit at home and I'm not going to vote at all because I won't vote for a Democrat, or I'm going to vote for a Democrat and vote for Doug. I can't remember his last name.
Doug Jones.
Doug Jones in this particular.
Or potentially write someone in.
Or write in Donald Duck. Just don't vote for this guy.
I like your optimism. I know JR on the show yesterday said he thought Moore would climb in the polls after this. I don't know that I agree with that, but I am worried about in a week, are we going to see a poll where Doug Jones is up by 2 points? I mean, there's a lot of people in this country who hate the Democratic Party so much that they might still vote for, even if they believe he's a pedophile, they might still vote for him. So I don't know. I mean, we have to wait and see. We can predict all we want, but
I have more faith in the American people that they're going to be like, there's no way we could vote for a pedophile. There's no.
I hope you're right.
I mean, my thought, and maybe it's just me. My thought is that there's no father out there who has a daughter who could vote for this man.
No, I almost every Republican in Alabama. I totally disagree with
Republicans
you.
Republicans, Alabama, please prove me right and prove Cenk wrong.
Okay, so Richard, I love your perspective, and it's important to have different perspectives. My perspective is that that Republicans don't care about family values at all. The people who care about family values the least in this country are Fox News viewers. If you give them, Desjarlais in Tennessee, 3 abortions. He's a pro-life Republican. 3 abortions. I forget if it was 2 with the mistress and 1 with the wife, or 2 with the wife and 1 with the mistress. But he said, but I had to because I had a mistress. So according to not my language, your language, Fox News, and Republicans in Alabama and Tennessee and all over the place, he murdered those 3 kids because it was convenient for him to do it. But you didn't care. You didn't care at all. You reelected him. So you're not going to care about it. Trump molested those women. It's on tape. He said you grab him by the genitals. You don't ask for permission. You didn't care. You've shown time and time again, all of your talk about family values is a gargantuan lie. As long as there's a Republican who hates the same people you hate, you love him and you don't care that he molests 14-year-olds. You don't care that he sexually assaults people. You don't care how many abortions he had with his mistress or his wife, or the, as you would put it, the babies he murdered. You don't care. Just admit it. Say Roy Moore hates the same people I hate. I'm going to vote for him no matter what. So I would be shocked if all of the defense that right now Alabama Republicans are doing and Fox News is doing didn't work. Now, I think that Roy Moore might have a better chance of winning now. I'm telling you, Alabama Republicans have no interest in morality. They have 0% interest.
Prove him wrong and prove me right.
As I've said before, one of the downsides of Cenk going away for a week is that he comes back tired, not invested in the story.
So let me tell you about Republicans in Alabama. Alabama State Representative Ed Henry says that these girls, now women, were foolish for coming forward, and they'd regret going down this road. And then he wondered, why didn't they come out earlier? Maybe because you just threatened them by saying, yo, you regret coming down this road.
He said they should be prosecuted.
Okay. He said they should be prosecuted, and he said they are guilty. They are guilty for allowing him to exist for 40 years. He's not guilty for existing for 40 years. He's not guilty for molesting the 14-year-old. They're guilty for getting molested. Alabama Republicans don't care about morality. They think morality's a punchline. They think it's a political gimmick. That's Alabama Republican State Representative Ed Henry. Alabama State Auditor Jim Ziegler said, even if you accept the Washington Post report as being completely true, it's much ado about very little. I mean, this is assuming, according to his own words, that Roy Moore got naked in his mid-30s with a 14-year-old, stripped her down to her underwear and fondled her. How much ado about very little? It's something Alabama Republicans apparently, according to their own words, think is no big deal. I mean, who doesn't do that, right? He said, well, Moore married someone 14 years younger and it's fine. Moore happened to just date teenage girls in his 30s. What's the big deal? These are Ziegler quotes. He said, Joseph and Mary. Mary was a teenager. Joseph was an adult carpenter. They became parents of Jesus. There's nothing immoral or illegal here, so that's fine. So Ziegler and other Alabama Republicans think child molestation of 14-year-olds, because he said he accepts the fact pattern. Child molestation, pedophilia is no big deal, according to Republicans who are elected in the state of Alabama, and they will not be thrown out of office. You think Ziegler's going to be thrown out of office for saying pedophilia is awesome and biblical? No, he's going to get reelected. Alabama Secretary of State John Merrill questions the timing and the source of the allegations, and the list goes on and on. They don't care. They've never cared. In fact, they might rally to him and go, oh, good Christian. Just molesting a 14-year-old and now he's in trouble.
I mean, look, honestly, after the results on Tuesday when you had, you know, the guy who insulted the women's marcher, a woman who marched there went and took his seat, the guy who put the bathroom bill forward, the guy who was attacking the refugees. Like, there's some chance that Ziegler should watch out, and one of the victims might run against him right now.
I mean, that's the point. I mean, Jack, maybe I have a larger hope in the American people, and I have a larger hope in the Alabama people. And I wrote a piece for Huffington Post talking about how important it is that we people who are of faith, who aren't necessarily of the conservative elk, reclaim our religion and reclaim this twisted, this doctrine that they put out here. Because even if you buy this Joseph and Mary malarkey, because it's malarkey, you have to remember that even when they got together, she was a virgin birth and was an immaculate conception. And so they really didn't get together for at least the first year and a half of their relationship. Mm-hmm. to be very frank, yeah. If you look at the biblical pen, so it doesn't even make sense if you want to. So that's why it's very important that you understand the fact pattern, you read the Bible for yourself in the writing in red. Yeah. But I actually do believe, and I think John has a point, if you look at the Danica Marshall race that we saw in Manassas, Virginia, where the trans bathroom guy, after four decades mm-hmm. of being an awful, racist, homophobic legislator, finally a trans woman beat him by not talking about being a trans woman. She beat him on the issues
because she was talking about traffic because
the 28 in Manassas, and I've taken the 28 in Manassas, it's awful. And she's like, it's bad. And people are like, yeah, she might be trans, but she's right. That 28 is bad, and I'm voting for her.
One last thing about Ziegler. Because he didn't just mention Joseph and Mary. So it's an interesting biblical point you make. But he also mentions Zechariah and Elizabeth. Yeah. And he says Zechariah was extremely old to marry Elizabeth, but they became parents of John the Baptist. So isn't that wonderful? He also quoted Muhammad.
There was also an Immaculate Conception.
Okay. Is that really true? There's a lot of Immaculate Conceptions going on. That might be Roy Moore's defense next. When the new articles drop, as he hinted on Hannity's show, he might say, oh, no, it wasn't me doing it. It was God doing it.
I mean, the Bible talks about the fact that she couldn't give birth, and then they prayed, and then the baby quaked. There's a whole, read the Bible for yourself, people, before you listen to these quacks.
And what's interesting is that Ziegler also said that Muhammad marrying a 9-year-old was no big deal either. Oh, no, right. All the Christians always talk about, Muhammad's a pedophile. Which is, by the way, I left Islam. I think that there's a lot of truth to that. I don't think that I think that that story in the Quran is deeply, deeply disturbing. Then they turn to similar stories in the Bible, and they're like, those are good Christians. When the good Christians do pedophilia, it's awesome. It was God's meaning, okay? When the Muslims do it, Muslims, pedophilia. Oh, look at Joseph and Mary. Pedophilia is awesome. God loves pedophilia. Make up your goddamn minds, okay?
It was also like 10 centuries ago,
okay.
For the record.
Okay, no, because they are the world's largest hypocrites.
Why did they take 10 centuries to come forward?
Why? Why did they do it? Okay, all right. Jesus. We got to take a break. We're done with Roy Moore. When we come back, the walls are closing in on Trump from the Mueller probe. Amazing story. This idiot Flynn might have actually literally tried to plan a kidnapping in America for. And he got bribed apparently by the Turkish government. That is an amazing story when we return. All right, back on the Young Turks, Richard Jenk and John with you today. Jay writes in, Jenk claps like my 9-month-old nephew. Fair enough. So sometimes I do the meathead clap. We've talked about it on Old School. Hey, what'd it be? JETS.
I had no idea. When you said meathead clap, I was like, I don't know what that is. As soon as you started, I was like, yeah.
That's it.
That's meathead.
iMaximus writes in, I wore t-shirt blazer combo to my interview today too. There you go, iMaximus.
Hope you get the job.
Probably a bad call, but.
I hope you get the job.
It's a great call.
Was it a TYT shirt? That's the question.
That's even better, shopTYT.com.
Yeah.
Have your own opinion, says, in that Washington Post story, he also gave those 16 to 18 year olds alcohol on those dates. Dude's a sexual predator, period, just like Kevin Spacey. But remember, during the Kevin Spacey thing, Fox News was all about, like, there's a lot of false accusations. Oh, right, they never mentioned that. Okay, Corey Kroll says, Weinstein is a monster, but Mary was just after Joseph's and God's money. I didn't say it, they did. Okay, I've said worse, though.
She's just trying to get his myrrh.
And what is it, gold and incense? It's like, something.
It's gold, incense, and myrrh.
Yeah. All right, so breaking
what
news.
What else do you need?
Two Republicans have now dropped their endorsements of Roy Moore. So I was yelling at Republicans, they apparently heard. No. So give them credit where credit is due. Steve Daines of Montana and Mike Lee of Utah. Now that's a very relevant name. He was one of the first to endorse Roy Moore. Have now said the allegations are disturbing. And more, and Lee says, I can no longer endorse his candidacy for the US Senate.
And also, I don't want to be one of those people that, like, when a Republican does a good thing, you immediately just remind everyone of everything the bad they've ever done, because that disincentivizes them to do the right thing. But you took away your endorsement. You shouldn't have had the endorsement in the first place. This guy wasn't bad yesterday. He was a terrible guy decades ago for a number of different reasons.
Well, I mean, not to go back on the story, but I think that's part of the problem, right? And I think this is part of this sort of Steve Bannon revolution, is that they don't vet these candidates. They just pick Joe Schmo and they're like, you believe in everything we stand for. You're part of this Breitbart revolution and perfect candidate. Mind you, he said insidious things about gay people. He said people Muslims. Like me should be sentenced to death. Because of who we choose to love. And we can go on and on and on about the fact that this guy has a litany of horrible things. But I guarantee you this, now that Mike Lee has said it, I wouldn't be surprised if Ted Cruz doesn't follow by the end of the day with also withdrawing his endorsement.
All right, we'll see.
Maybe.
All right, what's next?
Okay. Another of Donald Trump's federal judicial nominees was approved by the Senate, which even a year after the election, I can't believe is a sentence that I have to say, but we're gonna push on. This guy wasn't qualified for the position, but he wasn't just like normal Trump not qualified for the position. He really, really wasn't qualified for the position. Brett J. Talley had never tried a case and was unanimously rated not qualified by the American Bar Association's Judicial Rating Committee. Which that is not the first time that's happened with one of their guys, but he had never even tried a case. Practiced law for 3 years, and as a blogger last year denounced Hillary Rotten Clinton and pledged support for the National Rifle Association as well. A civil rights organization commentary on the issue said, this is actually coming from him. So, hold on a second, I'm throwing off, I don't think the name is right on this graphic. So we're gonna pull out of that then. But anyway, this guy doesn't have any experience in it. Most recently, you know, I don't even know when the law was. Apparently, he went to Harvard Law School at some point, practiced law for 3 years. But most recently, he appears to be at least a blogger, possibly an author as well. We're going to show you some of the graphics in a bit of his books, which are interesting. But he tweeted things about Hillary Rotten Clinton. He talked about, you know, a war on guns and things like that. Said that Hillary Clinton should be in jail. Yeah. I don't understand where this guy comes from to be nominated in the first place, but these committees in the Senate are designed to stop this sort of person from taking that seat. And the reason is that it's not just, again, this is not like a small thing where for a year this guy is a problem. Donald Trump said at one point, talking about the successes he's having, the judge story is an untold story. Nobody wants to talk about it, but when you think of it, Mitch and I were saying that has consequences 40 years out, depending on the age of the judge, but 40 years out. Because as I alluded to before Donald Trump was elected, when I tried to convince people that you can't simply give the country over to fascists for a few years and everything will be hunky-dory, even if Trump is impeached tomorrow, or even if he loses in his reelection bid, there are gonna be dozens or possibly someday hundreds of judges sitting on the bench for 5, 10, 30, 50 years, theoretically.
Yeah, so there's two different issues here. One is this guy, and the other is what the Republicans have done with judges overall. And there's some really telling stats on that we're gonna share with you in a second. So first on this guy, look, I actually don't care that he wholeheartedly supports the National Rifle Association, he prays for them, etc. I think this whole idea of the judges pretending they don't have political opinions is a joke. They do, they should just be honest about it. It's preposterous when Gorsuch goes out there and says, political opinions, I don't have any. I just happen to rule in favor of corporations, the right wing in every single case. How did that happen?
I would say there's expressing support for the NRA and then saying, after Sandy Hook, Obama says he wants tighter background checks, and he starts blogging about how this is a war to take every gun away from every American. That's not, I support this organization. This is a fairly extreme, I would say crazy position.
Okay, you wanna disagree with his political positions, but pretending that he doesn't have them is stupid. So it drives me crazy, when liberals do it, when conservatives do it. Now the extremeness of his positions, you're absolutely right about, because one of the commenters on his blog, which is his main qualification for the federal judge position, Anyway, said that they
might. I want to become an ambassador based on my Tumblr.
He's one of now. This is someone who was a commenter. He said, "We will have to resort to arms if our other rights are taken away," like meaning that we will pick up arms against the government and commit violence. And Tally responded, "I agree completely with this." So I'm not sure a guy should be a federal judge if he has agreed in the past with taking up arms against the United States government and perhaps killing people.
Yeah.
That's what it means to take up arms against the government, by the way, if you're not clear on that. So that could be a disqualifier because of how insane he's been in the past. Now, in terms of his qualifications, let's be fair. So he went to University of Alabama, good school, went to Harvard Law School. Obviously, that's terrific. He clerked for two federal judges, so not bad. And he was a speechwriter for Mitt Romney. Okay, those are all fine. But he hasn't tried any cases at all. He's been a lawyer for only 3 years, even though he's 36. So that's okay to get into later in your life. Nothing wrong with that. But you want obviously a little bit more qualification than I've been a lawyer for a couple of years without ever going to court. I think he was in court once, actually. He didn't take a case to court, but he appeared in court once. I have appeared in court more than he has.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe you'll be next.
Right. By the way, as a lawyer, too. Okay.
Although not exclusively.
Okay, not exclusively. So how in the world did he get, how did this blogger with no experience in the courtroom get this incredible position? Well, he was the protege of Republican Senator Luther Strange, and the senators loved to appoint people who were their interns or worked for them at some point. And that's a well-known thing. And not only that, he Dick Cheney'd it. Tally, this year, when Attorney General Jeff Sessions, also from Alabama, went and became Attorney General, Tally took a job in the Justice Department's office that selects judicial nominees.
Yeah.
So, I got a great idea. There's this wonderful blogger in Alabama, barely seen the inside of a courtroom, but boy, he'd make a great federal judge. Well, will you look at that? It happens to be me. So that's partly how he got the job.
And so this is going to be, I apologize if it turns out tomorrow this isn't totally accurate. We were working until literally we went live to try to confirm this. But there's very little information about this guy. He's written some editorials that I read. You know, it's the standard, you know, ideological stuff you'd expect. And he apparently isn't just a blogger, he apparently is an author as well. And so everything that we've found implies that this is the same Brett J. Tally, same age, the pictures look identical. But if you bring up this last graphic, you're gonna see he apparently has written some books as well. Apparently fairly well received horror novels. And I'm a little bit disturbed that going by the leftmost one, he's also a fan of the Cthulhu mythos. He's apparently writing Lovecraft fan fiction and apparently doing quite well. I haven't had time to look over these books yet, but I really think people should because there has got to be some amazing illuminative stuff in there.
At least that means he'll write creative decisions, you know?
Exactly. But isn't it weird that colorful. I couldn't find anyone else talking about that? Like, you'd try to find information on the first thing that comes up are these books. Nobody's talking about it.
Well,
I think
that speaks to a larger problem that we have. I praised the media in the last segment. Now here I'm going to go bash the media. But I think this is a larger contextual problem that we have with the media. And I think this has everything to do with the fact that Donald Trump, whether you like him or not, is a marketing genius. And he's figured out how to rope the media into this little wash and rinse cycle that he has them in, right? Where it's like, I'm gonna tweet, look, there's the fire. And meanwhile, back at the ranch, all of his cabinet, because this is a cabinet level, so he's clearly pushed by justice, obviously. Mm-hmm. But at all the cabinet agencies in Washington, where I reside, these cabinet secretaries and their plebeians and their, you know, their appointees, they're literally shredding regulation. Mm-hmm. When I mean shredding regulation, they have paper shredders and like Obama's name's on it, shred that, shred it fast, mm-hmm. and nobody's covering it, mm-hmm. right? Like Betsy DeVos, for example. I know that's not the same topic, but she repealed 71 different special ed regulations in one day. And nobody covered it. Nobody talked about it because they're like, oh, Donald Trump tweeted kafefe. Mm-hmm. And that is the news story of the day.
I would argue nobody. It's not true. You should.
Well, when I say, I mean, what I mean, mainstream media. And I think this is everything to the fact that Donald Trump has figured out how to fool them while all these things are happening. I'm going to put all these judges up. Nobody's going to pay attention to it because they're going to be focused on me in Asia saying crazy things about Little Rocket Man while my administration is doing really, really bad things to the American people. Mm-hmm. And this is an example of it.
So last thing about this particular guy, as I think John alluded to, American Bar Association has, I love this, unanimously rated him not qualified. They did everything they could to not include not remotely qualified. So you get a sense of it. Now, to the larger issue, the Republicans did record-breaking obstruction during Obama. In his last 2 years, they only approved 22 justices in 2 years. So to give you a sense of how out of whack that is, the Democrats in Bush's last 2 years when they were in charge approved 68. So that is triple the number that the Republicans approved. So when Trump got in office, there was 100 vacant seats, which is an incredible number. Yeah. That means that a lot of cases were backlogged, justice was delayed and sometimes denied, but the Republicans didn't mind that because they were playing political games, including with, of course, with the Supreme Court seat. And so this is 22 is the lowest number since 1951 and 1952. Now, in 1 year, Trump has nominated 59 people, and the Republicans have said clear sailing. They all voted as a block on all of them to approve. So 22 in 2 years, 59 in 1 year, that is record-breaking obstruction. And to Richard's point, the media just grazes past it. Now, it's in the articles, it's in paragraph 17 in some of the articles. But you don't turn on cable news and see that the Republicans do obstruction more than Democrats. What you see is 50-50. Well, golly gee, I remember during the Obama years, we can't tell who's responsible for the obstruction. It could be the Republicans or it could be Obama. No, it was clearly, definitely, definitively, factually the Republicans. And so this is the uneven battlefield that drives me crazy. So if the Democrats get control of Congress again and there's a Republican president, they should block every single judicial nominee, every one of them.
After giving them a chance.
No chance.
No.
Okay. And so you want to say there's only going to be 22 in 2 years under Obama when there should have been 122? No problem. Mm-hmm. Maybe we let two through in 2 years, in the last 2 years of Trump or Pence or whoever it is. Let's go get the Senate so we can block all their judges. Because I'm tired. I'm tired of the Democrats complaining that things aren't fair, then turning around and giving the Republicans everything they want. And then when the Democrats are in charge, they get nothing. Progressives are tired of it. The country's tired of it. So, all right, two will play at that game until we fix the goddamn system.
I couldn't agree more. I think the one thing I will never forgive Barack Obama for was that he let them get away with stealing the Merrick Garland seat. I think the mistake he made was he didn't make a recess appointment. He should have I wouldn't have recess appointed Merrick Garland. If it were me, I would have found a disabled lesbian black woman and I would have put her on the court, and I would have went to Mitch McConnell. I would have drove down to Capitol Hill. I would have walked into Mitch McConnell's office and said, I dare you, I beg you, please remove her off the court. Yeah. Let's have some fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, or that's a great point. Be like, hey, listen, you're not approving Merrick Garland. No problem. Just go to recess and we'll see how it turns out. Oh, look at that. Cornel West is on the Supreme Court.
Yeah. Now remove him. Yeah, and we'll see how many cases we can hear.
Well, let's see how that rolls, okay? But the Democrats never do that, which gives the Republicans an unfair advantage. And then when it comes to the media, 9 out of 10 times they go, I don't know, I guess it's all even. It's not even.
No. Yeah.
Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, finally, walls closing in on Trump. You're going to love the story. You're going to love the story of Flynn. We'll be right back. All right, back on the Young Turks, Cenk Uygur, Richard Fowler, John Idolola? Idolola with
you guys.
How
many years must one work here?
At least you got my name right.
Did have your name pronounced right.
You do have a complicated name.
Yeah, he just got here.
Okay.
Boom.
Chris Wilkins writes in on YouTube Super Chat about yesterday's show. Oh my God, I asked John to follow the main story when I met him at Harvard. TYT are real people. It is true. Idolola is a real person. So Pantera, on the other hand, writes, John, don't you dare mock tomorrow. I have a big evening playing Arkham Horror.
Oh, nice. I haven't played Arkham Horror, but I'm a big fan of Eldritch Horror, so enjoy your game.
And from the federal judge position that he is soon to have, Tally will probably write many horrific things. Okay, Daniel Pareja finally writes in, McConnell is bound and determined to pack the federal judiciary with as many young right-wing lunatic judges as he can while the GOP Senate majority lasts.
Yeah, I think he's 36, by the way.
That is true. But here's the thing, this is why when they say elections have consequences, this is what they mean.
Yes.
Down ballot elections have consequences.
Yeah, like, I mean, there will be cases that could have gotten to the Supreme Court theoretically that we'll never even know about because they get shredded at the lower level. Or think about like we fight and fight and these important issues finally get to the Supreme Court and then oh, crappy Merrick Garland wasn't there to vote for it, and we lose. So
and you think about
these consequences last for decades.
And you think about the fact that the Supreme Court, if you think about the liberal justices, they are not getting any younger. I mean, I love RBG to death, and I knew her husband very well, but she ain't no spring chicken.
Imagine if she steps down under Trump.
No, I mean, she has a good workout regimen, and she talks about
better
that.
Better than
but
me.
She ain't no spring chicken, America. Yep. She ain't no spring chicken.
Yeah, and it was to replace Scalia. It was an opportunity.
He should have recess-appointed.
Such a wasted opportunity.
I told you.
He should have, yes.
He should have been like, he knows the Constitution better than anybody else. He's like, watch this. Mm-hmm. Let's have some fun. But he decided not to.
Yeah, that's true.
I am technically a lawyer. So like, if Democrats played the same kind of ball Republicans do, recess-appointment, Jack Hugo for the Supreme Court.
As long as I can clerk for you, I'm not a lawyer, but I'll be a great clerk.
I think the Democratic establishment would put you on that.
Okay, anyway, yes.
Okay, now, one more big story for you. Michael Flynn is apparently once again a target in the Robert Mueller investigation. In this case, in relation to something particularly salacious, almost something out of a James Bond novel. It was an alleged plot to kidnap a Muslim cleric living in the United States to then deliver him to his political opponents in Turkey. So the former national security advisor to President Donald Trump and his son, Mike Flynn Jr., they always have to be Jr., would have been paid up to $15 million for delivering Fethullah Gulen to the Turkish government, according to sources familiar with the investigation, who spoke at the Wall Street Journal. FBI agents apparently questioned at least four individuals about a meeting held at the end of last year during the presidential transition where Flynn met with representatives of the Turkish government. That meeting was a follow-up to a secret September 19th meeting attended by former CIA Director James Woolsey, who said Flynn and others discussed, quote, a covert step in the dead of night to whisk this guy away. And he says, although he wasn't there for the entirety of the conversation, they were talking about possibly outside the legal US extradition system. And there was some talk of using a private jet to take him to a Turkish prison island, also the base of a supervillain.
Well, in a sense. think about how crazy this is under both scenarios. So the Turkish government offered to give the Flynn boys $15 million. Either, because this is in December during the transition, so they know Trump's going to be president. And Flynn is working for Trump, and then Flynn obviously eventually became a national security advisor. So either to, when you get in office, make sure that you extradite him. Right or wrong, it doesn't matter. I'm giving you $15 million to do it, okay? That would be horrible, flat out bribery from a foreign government.
Yeah.
And by the way, also dismiss charges against the guy who might prove that some very important people in the Turkish government stole money. Yeah. Get rid of him, dismiss charges, let him go so that people never find out about our corruption. It almost can't get any worse until you realize the second scenario, which is, and if that doesn't work, it's go time. Put on the pantyhose thing like they do in old school.
Like a Balaclava or something.
Get in the van and like literally kidnap the guy from the middle of Pennsylvania and deliver him to our secret evil island. Okay.
Yeah.
That's insane. And the Flynn guys are like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Woolsey's like, Jesus Christ, what are they talking about? I gotta get out of here. Like Woolsey is a neocon through and through.
Yeah.
He was one of the biggest advocates of the Iraq war. Woolsey is massively crazy right wing. And he's like, what did they just say? I literally have to leave the building right now.
Yeah, I mean that's the downside. The upside is like if you're gonna have a national security advisor, sure you could have some stuffy ivory tower academic, or you could have a potential international bounty hunter. Isn't that badass? That's your national security advisor.
So
it's like Dog the Bounty Hunter is advising the president.
Yeah, it sounds badass, but I assure you that it is not because
I agree.
A $15 million bribe ain't nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah.
So I think that the Flynns are in massive, massive trouble.
So we do have to read their response, though. To be fair, this was put out shortly before we went live. A statement by counsel to Lieutenant General Michael T. Flynn. retired. Out of respect for the process of the various investigations regarding the 2016 campaign, we have intentionally avoided responding to every rumor or allegation raised in the media. But today's news cycle has brought allegations against General Flynn, ranging from kidnapping to bribery, that are so outrageous and prejudicial that we are making an exception to our usual rule. They are false.
Wow. So here's my take on this, and I've said this and I'll say this all along. I think it's very hard to, I think what we're trying to do here with this Mueller investigation, we're trying to piece what's being leaked to the media, and we really don't know everything that Mueller has because we're getting bits and pieces and we're taping it together with duct tape. Here's what we do know though. We know that there is a Manafort indictment. We know Manafort's buddy's been indicted, and we know there's a guilty plea from Papadopoulos, who's clearly, based on the evidence, was wearing a wire for some period of time with Trump associates. We know that Flynn has been talking to Mueller for some time. We know Flynn is trying to protect his son.
Yeah.
Because I mean, as any
they leaked that story last week, actually.
As any father would. And we also know that the Trump administration can no longer say this is fake news and this is bogus, because this investigation is moving closer and closer to his inner circle. They met with Steve Miller this week. They met with Hope Hicks last week. They asked Kushner to turn over paperwork. And I think this is problematic. And then the other thing that I always like to say with this investigation, people, is you have to remember who's not talking. So remember, you have to know who the Republican loudmouths are and why they're eerily quiet. And the one that I like to remind people of, that people forget about, who is the loudest mouth of them all, who is so quiet, it's just so shocking, Rudy Giuliani. He has nothing to say. Why? Because I think he's singing to Mueller like a canary at Christmas.
Oh wow, that's an interesting speculation.
Yeah, I mean, why else would Rudy Giuliani not be quiet? He's the guy who'd be out there like, oh, Donald Trump's great, make America great again, I have a hat. Because he's singing to Mueller, and he's saying, listen, this is what's going on, this is what I know, I'm not trying to go to jail, let me tell you everything I know.
I have not heard this prediction before, but if it turns out to be true,
and the other person who is quiet is Jared Kushner's sister, who was the one peddling the visas. She was peddling the visas to foreign entities, and now she's gone missing and quiet.
Well, I love predictions, so John's right. I mean, if Giuliani is talking, I'm going to give you all the credit in the world.
Boom.
Okay.
Yeah. The only person not going to jail, I'm going to tell you this. When this all goes down and people are walking out in handcuffs, the one person that will not go to jail, because she's a survivor, Omarosa. Omarosa will be sitting in the White House like, I don't go to jail. I'm a survivor, boo.
She's going to be the last one voted off the island.
Absolutely.
She's staying with Pence throughout. All right, so now the walls are closing in even more on Donald Trump, because now Trump Jr., some are saying, is being investigated for violation or conspiracy to violate the Federal Election Campaign Act because of the meeting he had with the Russian lawyers. There was an interview done with that Russian lawyer recently where she said, he promised that if Donald Trump wins, that they would get rid of the law that was blocking the funds of the Russian oligarchs. Yeah, so we put a freeze on their accounts. And according to the Russian lawyer who met with Donald Trump Jr. and Kushner and Manafort, Trump Jr. said, yes, if we win, we will do that favor for you if you give us the stolen emails of Hillary Clinton. Yeah. By the way, we don't know if they got the stolen emails, but it should be noted that 5 days after that meeting is when DC Leaks released internal documents from the Clinton campaign, and 1 week later, WikiLeaks published numerous hacked DNC emails. So we don't know if those are connected. It is curious timing that right after the meeting, now the meeting that Donald Trump Jr. and Donald Trump, because he's the one that wrote the memo denying all of this for Jr., which was him getting involved in the conspiracy, which is a terrible idea, right? Mm-hmm. And we know that because they basically admitted that on Air Force One, Donald Trump wrote the lie about
he took personal control of it.
That's right. It's saying that it was just a meeting about adoption, which was not true. If in fact they even asked for the stolen emails and promised in return that they would get rid of that law, that would already be a violation of the Federal Election Campaign Act and a conspiracy to violate it. So then Trump Jr. is in trouble. Donald Trump himself is touched by that, let alone if anyone flips on him. Yeah. And with the Flynns being in this much trouble. I mean, we're talking about decades in prison.
If you were
going to get bribed by $15 million by a foreign government, and you offered to do these acts for them, because that is as serious a crime as you could have on the political landscape. So, if they flip and they know something about Trump and the connection to the Russians, then he's toast and he's gone. But we don't know yet if the Flynns know about the connections that Trump has with Russia and what those connections are. But right now, the walls are definitely closing in.
I tend to agree with that. I think the walls are closing in. I'm not sure, just based on what is being reported, I'm not sure if they have Trump and collusion dead. They don't have it dead yet. They don't have it. But I do think they might have obstruction, which is why they went back and they went back to Jared Kushner and tried to get the paperwork because he was in the meeting. And so they're trying to build obstruction. I think they're putting pressure on Manafort. And I also think they're putting pressure. What Mueller understands, this is, you can't look at this case in a vacuum. Remember, Manafort's case is going to happen in May, right, of next year, in the middle of a midterm primary. This is bad news bears for the Republican Party. So the Republicans are going to be like, oh God, this has got to end. We're going to lose seats because there's a big conspiracy case happening.
Yeah, what if Flynn ends up having a July case?
Yeah, absolutely. And also remember, there's also sealed, there's what, I want to say there's 28 sealed cases that are also going on. And we don't know who they are. We don't know who's talking to. So there's a lot of pieces here. And Mueller is one of the best prosecutors in America. He's smarter. He's smarter than a whip, and he has a really good team. And beyond that, remember, he's also trying cases with state attorneys, meaning that they're gonna get around the pardons. They're gonna get around any type of fishy games that Donald Trump tries to play. But I don't know if they have Trump on collusion. But they're clearly trying to make a case to get Trump on obstruction around the James Comey firing.
And they have an excellent case on obstruction because he admitted it on national TV that he fired him because of the Russia investigation. The case is so solid that it's going to confuse people because they're going to be like, wait, he already said that on TV. That's right. He admitted obstruction of justice on TV because he's just that stupid.
As we said earlier when we covered the Veselnitskaya, the new interview, like we're still sort of looking for things and forgetting that we have Donald Trump Jr.'s email.
Yeah.
He was told this is the Russian government's way to help your father. That would be great. Let's meet about that.
Yeah.
And you should release the emails in the summer, which then got released in the summer.
And you also don't know the rest of, like I said, we only saw the emails that were leaked to the Post. We don't know the other, like when you think about emails, America and people watching, remember, there's emails, there's off chains, like if me and Cenk and we're in an email, I might take John off the chain and just talk to Cenk. And so there's other emails happening in this chain.
What would you be talking about? Why are you taking me off?
Because you know, we like to talk crap about you. But my point is there's more color to this story that we're missing that clearly Mueller has, because they've probably subpoenaed all these records and they know what they've got. Now they just need to confirm or deny with witnesses, and the pressure's on.
All right, we got to go. We got a great second hour for you guys. Louis C.K. admits he did it. Ellen Page talks about getting outed by another douche in Hollywood, unfortunately. Lots of disastrous stories in the next hour. So you have that to look forward to. And everybody, check out the Richard Fowler Show. Thank you so much for being on, Richard. Grace is coming up next. And we'll be right back.